Welcome to Sunday Evening Online. We have a special treat tonight, and that is to hear from Ryan and Elna Mitchell. Ryan and Elna serve as missionaries in Papua New Guinea, and it's been our joy as a church to partner with them as they are seeking to take the gospel to the nations to fulfill Christ's command to go and make disciples of all nations. And due to the time difference and the technological challenges of life in Papua New Guinea, we aren't able to have a live interview and interaction with them, but they have recorded and edited an interview for us, and I know you will be encouraged and enjoy it as I have.
Hi, we're the Mitchells, and I'm Ryan.
I'm Elna.
I'm Calista.
And I'm Sebastian.
Sebastian, how old are you?
8.
And Calista, how old are you?
12.
Elna, never mind. We are missionaries here in the village of Mawarero in the Finisterre Mountains of Papua New Guinea.
Ryan, why did you move your family to Papua New Guinea?
Well, our family has moved here to Mawarero in the Finisterre Mountains of Papua New Guinea for one purpose, and that is to see Christ glorified in the Dho people as they turn to Him in salvation. We have come to a region which is Christian in name, but Christian in name only. The Lutheran Church is in our village. In fact, it's in this entire region. But after having a presence here for many, many, many years, it's clear to us from the fruit of the people, from what they articulate their beliefs to be, that they have not heard the gospel clearly. And so we've stepped really into a situation which is no different from many of our neighborhoods back in South Africa, and I'm certain in many of your neighborhoods, where people believe they are Christians, but when you look at their fruits and you hear what they believe about the Bible and what they believe the Bible to teach, they simply do not understand the gospel. And so why are we here? We've made this long journey and dedicated ourselves to years of work, because people need to hear the gospel, they need to turn to Christ in salvation, and they need to be taught what scripture, how scripture changes us to be Christ-like.
What language do they speak in Mawarero?
The local language is Dho, which is spoken right from the beach all the way across our mountain range to the valley beyond. There's about 10,000 speakers of various dialects of the language. And then most people have some kind of proficiency in Tokpisin, which is the trade language.
Now, what kind of a language is Dho? Is it easy to learn or is it difficult?
Well, Tokpisin was easy to learn because it's got a limited vocab and a simple grammar. But Dho is a fully fledged language. There are a lot of words, a lot of verbs, a lot of nouns. Just like English, things get very specific. For example, 24 would be 2 hands, 2 feet, and 4 on top of that.
Can you say that in Dho?
Kanerisa, kerisa, nimikini osangano.
Much easier to just say 24.
Much easier. And the people actually do use Tokpisin like 24 pla instead of trying to say the whole shabam in Dho. It also is very different in grammar than English, and so you have to concentrate a lot. We have to speak like Yoda. We have subject, object, verb. So I to you, this do, which takes a lot of concentration.
What foods do they like to eat?
The people here in Mawarero are farmers, and most of their food comes from their gardens. Their staple is sweet potato, which we are used to. There are lots and lots of different types of bananas. Some which have to be cooked to be eaten, and some you can eat raw, like the American banana. They do eat a lot of things that we would not eat, like caterpillars, spiders, all kinds of insects. But a lot of the food is things that we are familiar with. Protein is something that's hard to come by here. They do grow peanuts, but meat needs to be hunted for, so they eat tree kangaroos, which I have not tasted. And pigs, they raise pigs for meat, but that is a rare thing because it is so expensive, and chickens also get raised for meat.
What do people do for work?
Most people in Mawarero are subsistence farmers. They do not have jobs like we do, where you get paid with money. Some do have cash crops, coffee or vanilla, that they grow here and then sell in town. They have to hike these products out. Sometimes buyers come into town, into the village for vanilla, but for the most part, these products need to be hiked out.
When you mention town, do the people go to town often?
No. The people here in our village are quite scared of going to town. There are a select few who are used to it and have family members there that they can live with. But for the most part, people are scared. They do not know how to use public transport. They get taken advantage of because they do not know how stores work, or they're not able to converse clearly in Tokpisin. So it is not something that they enjoy doing.
And what do the kids of Mawerero like to do?
From a very young age, children here are independent. They run around in little groups. They take care of their younger siblings. Children as young as 5 often carry younger siblings tied to their back and have to fend for them for most part of the day. They play games like our children would. They enjoy running games. They enjoy playing with balls. They have to make their own toys, so they get pretty creative.
Ryan, what do the people of Mawerero believe about God?
Well, the people of Mawerero are pretty much like the rest of the people in Papua New Guinea, and they believe themselves to be Christians. Now, our village is a Lutheran village. About 1960, around there, Lutheran missionaries came into the village and at that time baptized many of the elder people who are currently in our village, baptized their parents. And ever since then, our church has had a Lutheran presence. They've been preaching Lutheran doctrine, and they believe themselves to be Christians. So what they believe about God is mostly based on biblical truth. They believe in one true God. They believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, are they in error? Absolutely. Let me explain. The Bible tells us there's one true God, and He has wrath towards our sin. We are guilty, each one of us individually. They accept that. They also understand the scripture to teach them that the only way you are made right with God in relation to your sins, the only way you escape hell and God's wrath, is through Jesus Christ, His Son, who paid the sacrifice on the cross. They would explain that to you. What else they would say is that salvation is by grace through faith. They agree with that. They understand that that is what the scriptures teach. Now, you should be nodding your head and going, that's great, they believe the Bible. Yes, in theory, they believe those truths. They have been taught those truths. But let me remind you of something. Lutheran doctrine says the following, that salvation is based on justification through Christ alone. They teach that salvation is by grace through faith alone. But then when it comes to baptism, they teach that the grace of God is received through the means of baptism, and thus baptism is essential for salvation. And that is exactly what we have found in this village. Let me give you an example. Just a few months ago, one of my very good friends in this village, one of my first friends in fact, his young daughter, who was maybe 6 or 7 years old, passed away. She had been sick for about a month, and we got to visit her the day before she passed away, lying in her hut there. We saw her in her death throes, in her last final breaths. And that evening she passed away, and the next day we went over again to give our condolences. And as we climbed up the stairs and took our shoes and walked into the smoky little hut and sat down in the darkness with his mom and dad, with her mom and dad next to her, the first thing I noticed was that prominently displayed on her little body was her baptism certificate. And I was just struck at that point the role that baptism plays in their theology. And it's bad theology. It's unbiblical belief about baptism. And it makes its way into their beliefs, into how they understand you are saved. And really, when you have bad theology, it leads to bad living. And so when we have pressed the people on why people still pursue sin, even though they preach against it, even though they all know it's unbiblical, why do they think people still go to heaven when they're dying, or when they've died, I should say,
they will answer you and say, well, God is gracious, and they were baptized. And so what do they believe about God? Much of it is true, much of it is based on scripture, yet there is great error in their theology and general ignorance of the Bible, the lack of ability to study it and understand it, has led to much error in what they believe about God, what they believe about Christ, the Holy Spirit, and living, and how to honor Christ through daily living. There's much error. By God's grace, our teaching the gospel from Genesis through to the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, pointing them to the scriptural truth behind salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone, explaining that clearly, by God's grace, He will save many of them and shine His light on the darkness that fills the lives of our people here.
Alna, what does a typical day look like for you? Perhaps start with school and the mornings.
Early in the morning, before we start school, I wake up and do my Bible reading and time and prayer. Then the kids wake up, we all have breakfast, and we start with a normal school day. Most days they have recess with their friends, the CAN boys, and during this time I would do language learning, where I meet with a language helper and go through a program to learn the local language. After recess we return to schoolwork, and then we have lunch, which takes a little longer than it used to because we have to cook everything from scratch. After that we continue with school again, and we finish a normal school day at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
And while school is in session or language learning, what typically happens here on our porch?
There are many, many interruptions on our porch. They range from fun things like kids coming and asking for a banana or peanuts, to asking for a ball to be pumped, to wanting to play with our kids. Grown-ups come and want to sell things, or they want to buy things, or they want a file to sharpen their knives, which is an essential tool for gardening here. It also ranges to serious things like cleaning of wounds, which we do here for the people, especially when the doctor is not around.
Now, what do your afternoons typically look like?
Some days we get to go to the waterfall, or we get to spend time with our friends in the village, speaking to them, learning the local culture, and just enjoying time with them. Other days I spend on working on the post-literacy program, just working through some admin with that, or checking booklets, doing printing, or just working on my own culture and language acquisition.
Now, what do you typically do with the CAN family and with Amelia as a team?
We try to make sure that we meet at least once a week, either for fellowship or what we call core questions, where we share what we've been learning in the Word and how we can pray for each other. Then we also do church together on a Sunday morning, where we sing and we listen to a sermon. At the moment, we're also having weekly team meetings, where we just make sure that we're all on track with all the various tasks that we've been assigned to.
Can you give a quick update on your ministry?
Well, we came here to Papua New Guinea at the end of 2018. The first 4 to 6 months were spent in Madang town, which is the main center of our province, about 60 miles or so as a crow flies from where we are. We spent the time there getting acclimatized to the area, learning the basic cultural etiquette, and learning Tok Pisin, which is a language spoken by most people in the country. Very similar to English, got English words, Portuguese words, German words in it. Follows English structure, so it took a few months to learn that. We're still learning it, gaining in proficiency, and we'll keep doing so as the years go on. But we know enough to have come into the village about a year and a few months ago, and to start living here and getting to learn the Tok place, as we call it, the local language of Ndo. And so we've been here about a year and a half in country, and at this point Alna and I are pretty much at the end of stage one of Do language learning. Alna is slightly ahead of myself, and we are fairly proficient in Tok Pisin, still working on that. And we have spent enough time in the village to feel like this is now home for us.
Every time we leave, we feel like, oh, we would like to get back to our house, and that's back here in the village, not in South Africa. What our goals are in the medium term, or I should say what's coming up for our team very soon, is the gospel preaching. Really, this is the heart of the work here. And though we are behind in learning the language, we will still play a supportive role during that time period. We expect that our teammate Zach Kahn will be preaching the gospel starting somewhere in September or October, November of this year. By God's grace, we pray that that will happen. And it should take about 2 or 3 months for him to complete that gospel teaching. Now, you may be wondering what that looks like, and let me give you a short overview. We'll open it up with a significant event where we invite everybody in the village and introduce them to what we'll be doing starting the next day. And then if the village gives us each day to teach, Zach will teach for about an hour to an hour and a half each day through the gospel, starting in Genesis, going all the way to the gospel accounts, leading up to the clear truth of salvation by faith in Christ, by God's grace alone. And that takes place over about 3 months, as I say, daily. And it's hard work, and we will be supportive in that, with Zach doing most of the teaching. And he has to do it that way because all of it needs to take place in the local language. So please be praying for that. That is just around the corner for us, and all our energies as a team are now focused on preparing for that event. In the long run, what will happen? Well, if God in His grace decides to save people in this village, we will continue to then work with those believers to encourage them in the scriptures, to start building them up, discipling them, shepherding them. And over the long term, our goal is to leave the village as soon as there are elders to lead the local church, that the that same church is self-sustaining and going out and preaching the gospel to the villages around us.
So, Alna, what are some of the joys of doing ministry here in Mawerero?
Well, one of the biggest things that we are thankful for is that we get to work towards this goal. What a joy that all our energy is spent towards the goal of preaching the gospel. Another thing that is wonderful for us is getting to spend time with our teammates, the unity that God has given us within the team. We didn't really know each other before we came, and it's kind of like an arranged marriage between two couples and then Amelia. And God has really blessed our team that we love each other and we love encouraging each other and we just love working together.
And what have you found particularly challenging about living here?
Everything takes longer. Nothing is as simple as it was back home. I cannot just go to the grocery store and buy a loaf of bread. It starts with flour that I first have to sift because there might be bugs in it. Wait, before that, I first have to freeze it for 24 hours to kill the bugs, and then I need to sift it to take out the bugs, and then I need to bake the bread, and then we can eat the bread. So something as simple as we'll just have peanut butter and jelly for dinner becomes, we first have to bake the bread and then have peanut butter and jelly. Everything is logistically more challenging. We order supplies every 6 to 8 weeks. We order supplies from a missionary store or from Madang, where our logistics coordinator buys it for us. So I need to plan for 2 months worth of groceries at a time. And I do not have the option of running to the grocery store for something that I forgot.
What are some of the challenges of ministry?
The two most challenging aspects of ministry here in Mawerero have been moving into a new culture. And you've heard the word culture shock. We experienced that when we first moved to the United States for seminary several years ago. And though we were moving to an English-speaking nation where much of daily life is similar to what we had back home in South Africa, there was still a major shift in understanding people's worldview, how they reasoned through things, why they made decisions the way they did, getting used to their idioms. Language was quite different. And all of that has an effect on you. As you're taken out of the environment and the comfort that you're used to and thrown into a different place. Now amplify that by 1,000, and you might begin to experience what we are going through here in Papua New Guinea. Everything is very different. One example for you. You and I in the Western culture believe in a certain logic as we reason through things. If I wanted to ask you for something, I would make it short and sweet and get to the point. Well, over here, it's the exact opposite. We will often have someone come and sit on the porch, and it will take about a half an hour to find out that they've come to ask you to buy an orange or something like that, because they don't speak, don't think, don't reason, don't ask in the same way. And there are many, many aspects like that that we have had to get used to. There are many ways we have the potential of offending them. And so from the beginning, we've had to learn what not to say, to be very cautious, not to offend, not to speak about certain religious things. And it makes for a constant pressure on your thinking, on your emotions, and on the relationships that we are trying to build with the people. In the beginning, that was very difficult. It is much easier right now. And I can tell you that what has helped myself and Alna in this is to constantly turn to scripture and look for principles. For me, it was turning to Proverbs and finding the many scriptures there that help you deal with leadership. That is who we deal with here most often. And the most important relationships we have are with the leaders in this village. And I've found the Proverbs to be so helpful in that regard. A soft answer turns away wrath, or by patience a leader is persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks bone. Proverbs like that are very helpful to capture our thoughts, prepare us, give us the skills necessary to deal with leaders and people that really all they want from us is stuff. Greed is high on their list of why we've come to bring them stuff. They believe we're here to bring about greater wealth for them, to make lives easier. And that means that almost every day, every person who comes here has some kind of a request. And that becomes difficult to deal with day after day after day, and to do so graciously. So that's been very difficult. The second hurdle, the second challenge, the second difficulty is learning a new language. That is truly challenging when, even if the language is close to English, it is very different. The sentence structures, the sounds, much of it is very different. And so it has been challenging learning the language. And language learning has been going slower than what we had hoped, but we're not surprised by that. And those two really are the hardest things about being here. And think about this. If you're somewhere to preach the gospel and to build relationships, and yet you cannot speak the language, that becomes very, very difficult. And it calls for patience day to day, and it calls very much for looking at the long-term goal rather than focusing on the challenges of each day.
How can we pray for you?
First and foremost, if you were to remember only one thing, please be praying that God would prepare the hearts of the people here in our village to hear the gospel. Only God can make good soil. We will be faithful to preach the good news, to sow that seed which is perfect and imperishable. We will preach that faithfully. But only God can prepare the heart, and only God can save, and only the Holy Spirit can regenerate someone. So please pray that God would be working in the lives of people day to day, preparing them for when they hear the gospel. Second, you can pray for us as a family. Pray that we would remain faithful to love one another, to love our teammates, to continue pursuing unity as a team, and that God would be gracious to us and give us all wisdom as we prepare the gospel lessons, as we serve the people, as we face various issues that arise with the leaders, and that our presence here will continue to be welcomed amongst the people, and that God would protect us from outside influences that might come in and hinder our gospel work. You can also pray for us for joy day to day as we struggle through culture learning, language learning, And as we miss our family and friends and our church back home, and you can also be thankful with us. God has been faithful to sustain us, to teach us, to grow us, to encourage us, to comfort us. And He is doing much of that through churches like yourself, through your prayers, your support, your constant contact, and just the knowledge that you are like-minded and you see the importance of the work that we're doing.
Well, what an encouragement to hear of what the Lord is doing around the world in Papua New Guinea, and what an exciting stage of ministry that Ryan and Elna are entering. And we as a church want to be faithful to support them well in this time, to pray faithfully for them. And one thing you can do to that end is you can go to our website, to the missions page, and there's a link to sign up to be on a missionary prayer team. You can sign up for the Mitchells to receive regular updates from them as they move forward in ministry. You can sign up to do the same for our other missionaries as well. But we praise God for Ryan and Elna, for their family, and this exciting stage of ministry as they anticipate sharing the gospel with the folks there in Mauerero. So as we close our time, let's pray together for the Mitchells and their ministry. You join me. Our Father, we thank you for the Mitchells. We are so grateful for their family, for Ryan and Elna, for Sebastian and Callista. And thank you for the provision that you have made for them to allow them to be in Papua New Guinea and faithfully seeking to serve you there. And we're thankful for the ways that you have sustained them through that transition, and thankful for the progress that they're making on the language learning and building relationships with others. And Lord, we are very excited alongside them for the upcoming stages in their ministry. And we pray that as they continue to prepare for the proclamation of the gospel, that you would prepare hearts of those in their village, that they would be ready to receive the truth, that they would recognize you as creator and their sin and the hope that is only found in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for wisdom as their team finalizes plans and preparations for that. We pray for unity as they make decisions and chart their course. And Lord, we pray for the Mitchells family as well. Pray that you would sustain them, give them joy in the midst of the challenges that come from life in the village there, and just the continued adaption to a new language and culture. And Lord, we pray that they would have a healthy marriage, that you would give them wisdom as they seek to parent their children well, and that their own walk with you would be strong, and that would be the foundation on which they minister to others. And Lord, we pray for us as a church that we would be faithful, faithful to support well those who go to the nations to take the gospel, to pray for them, and to be generous in the support of them. And we pray that you would raise up from among us others who would be called and willing to go to the nations for the sake of your glory. And Lord, we're grateful for the hope that we have in Christ, and we recognize that you have blessed us so that we will also be a blessing to others. So Lord, help us to be faithful. Thank you for the Mitchells, for their encouragement, and for how they have spurred us on through their example. And we just continue to entrust them to you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, thank you for joining us, and hope you have a wonderful evening.